Turning once more, please, to the first book of the Bible and the chapter 3, and we're looking at the picture that is given us there, a very early picture that is given us there of the promised Redeemer. The verse 15 of chapter 3 contains these words spoken by God to the devil. And God says to the devil, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed," that's the seed of the devil. Do you know who the seed of the devil is? It's everyone who is unsaved. Every unsaved person is called the seed of the devil. That's why the Lord Jesus used those words to those men who opposed him in his day of ministry. He said to them, "Ye are of your father." Ye are of your father. You're sons of the devil. Or, you're the seed of the devil. And God says, "I will put enmity between thy seed," that's the devil's seed, "and her seed." And her seed, of course, was the Lord Jesus Christ. And there has always been that enmity between those who are not saved and the Lord Jesus. If you're not saved today, that explains why you don't like hearing the Bible taught. Why you don't like hearing the message of salvation. Because there's a spirit of opposition against the Lord and against His Word. That which is spoken of here, this enmity between the devil's seed and Christ, who is the seed of the woman. "It shall bruise thy head." The devil's told here about a day when he's going to get his head bruised. But in doing that, the one who would bruise his head would have his heel bruised. This is likely the last time we look at this verse, and we move on a little further to the next picture that I think we can find in the Bible. But in this last little study, I want very much to emphasize something, lest you get the wrong impression. Here in this verse, we have a conflict between the Lord Jesus and the devil. Between the Redeemer and the devil. Listen, boys and girls. The conflict between the Lord Jesus and the devil was not the way by which you were saved. This is what I want to emphasize today. You were not saved by the Lord Jesus taking on the devil and bruising his head. That is not what brought about your redemption. Now, the bruising of the devil undoubtedly was a part of the redemption that was wrought for us. But please remember this, that it is sin that damns the soul, not the devil. Not the devil. I know many people, in their ignorance, blame the devil for a lot of things. But it is not the devil who damns the soul. Now, he encourages a soul on the road that leads to damnation. But that which will bring everlasting destruction upon the soul is sin. If the devil was today suddenly annihilated, your sin would still bring you to hell. Because it's not the devil that damns. Oh, he encourages sin. But it's your sinning that brings everlasting destruction upon your soul. And we need to bear that in mind. We need to ever bear that in mind. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and the verse 4, it says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." It is sin working in the soul, staining the soul, ruining the soul, that brings damnation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to make that clear to you today. Oh, the devil's an enemy, boys and girls, and he will tempt you to do wrong, but it's your sin that will bring you to hell. In a sense, the devil's like a signpost pointing the road to destruction, encouraging sinners to go down that road, but he cannot force them down it. He cannot carry them down it. He cannot make them go down it. It is sin that carries them away from God and brings them to everlasting destruction. Now, at the cross, the Lord Jesus undoubtedly broke the power of the devil. That's where the devil's head was bruised. That's where the devil's power was broken. Let me read to you a verse in Hebrews chapter 2, and I want you to look it up, particularly you older ones, because it's a very key verse, and one that we should seek to grasp and understand. Hebrews chapter 2, and the verse 14. We'll read all of the verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that's Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same. That's why he became the child of Mary. He took on flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So, at the cross where the Lord Jesus died, one of the things that happened was the breaking of the power of the devil. He destroyed the power of the devil. You see, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can find a way of escape from temptation. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can find a way of deliverance from the curse of sin that the devil has encouraged us to get involved in. And the devil, who had power over man, being the introducer of death, being the one who promotes sin, he thus had power over man, but at the cross that power was broken. And if you're saved today, when the devil comes, there's a way of escape. You call on the Lord. When the devil seeks to tempt you, you call on the Lord. And you escape his power. You escape his power. But while the defeating and the overthrowing of the devil was part of what happened at Calvary, central to that glorious event at the cross, was the Lord Jesus dying to pay the price of our sins. Dying to pay the price of our sins. The blackmailer, I'm sure you know what I mean, the blackmailer comes along to a person and says, I know something about you. I know something bad about you that you have done and which you have tried to keep secret, but I know it. And if you don't give me £1,000, I'm going to announce it. I'm going to tell everybody that this is what you have done, and it'll shame you. It'll probably cost you your job, it'll cost you friends, and you'll just be looked upon with shame and ignominy. If you don't give me that £1,000, I'll let this be known. That's the way the devil worked. He taunted men, having led them into sin. He taunted them then, tormented them with their sins, accused them. But the Lord Jesus took away the power of the blackmailer by cancelling out our sins, by wiping them out completely, by removing every stain, so that God is able to say, as a result of what the Savior did at the cross, God is able to say, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That removes the power of the devil. He can't say, I'll tell God what you've done, because what we did has been dealt with and is no more as far as God is concerned. And thus the blackmailer's power is gone. And the Lord Jesus at the cross died for our sins. That's what he was doing. That's why we sang that little hymn this morning. Wounded for me. Wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. We're free now because Christ has died. Let me quote to you some scriptures, please. Several of them. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The just, that's who he is, suffered for the unjust, that's who we are, that he might bring us to God. He's removed, you see, the cause of offence, that which was in us that offended God and kept us out of God's presence. Jesus died to remove that, and so brought us into God's presence. Isaiah 53. Oh, what a chapter that is, boys and girls. That prophet saw clearly what the cross meant. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Look at those little words. Our, we. And you will understand what the Savior was doing at the cross. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. His soul was made an offering for our sins. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and the verse 8. This is what this verse 15 in Genesis 3 is talking about. The bruising of Christ was in order that our sins might be forgiven, wounded for us. One more thing. I want you to see the great wisdom and the great power of God in that while the devil stirred up men to crucify Christ, unknown to them, at the cross the Lord Jesus was dying as a sacrifice for our sins. You see the point? At the cross men thought they were destroying Christ. They thought they were putting an end to Jesus Christ. They thought they would silence him, that they would completely frustrate his whole purpose. But unknown to them, at the cross, the Lord Jesus was accomplishing the whole purpose of God. The whole purpose of God. When he was going to the cross, just before that great event, he explained to his disciples that when he would go to Jerusalem, for he was now going in that direction, he would be arrested and abused, and he would be crucified. And the disciples were horrified. Surely that will ruin everything. You see, they didn't understand even what the purpose of God was in Christ, even though he had explained to them. Even though they had all the Old Testament pictures of Jesus Christ dying as the sacrifice, they didn't understand. And they scolded the Lord. They scolded the Lord. Yet, boys and girls, I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ was born at Bethlehem in order that he might go to the cross and die. There's a lovely verse at the end of the Bible, the chapter 13, it's the verse 8, it says this, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him," that's the Antichrist, "whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." That last little phrase, get a hold of it. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Christ was set aside to die. He came to die. Where was he born? In Bethlehem. Where did Mary lay him? In a manger. In the house of the animal. Because you see, he came as the Lamb of God to die at Calvary. To die at Calvary. Here in the very first picture, that great event is mentioned. When Jesus would be bruised for our iniquities. Oh, boys and girls, please think today of the one who came to save us by dying at the cross. He didn't come with high hopes of accomplishing some other purpose, only to find that purpose frustrated and him unable to accomplish it and being forced to die on the cross. No, that's not the way of it. He came with the cross in view in order to save you in order to save you. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today for Jesus' sake. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, help us to understand that before the earth in order stood, Thou didst undertake the task of dying for us at the cross. And not one moment of hesitation was ever seen during your earthly ministry and walk. Oh God, it's hard for us to understand and to take it in that the God of heaven should send His Son to die for rebels such as us. But Lord, that's what the Bible tells us, and we believe it today and rejoice in it. Bless the boys and girls. Grant to them understanding of these things, and glorify Your name in their lives, Lord. Overshadow the school today. Keep it safe. Oh, that Thy presence may be known here. And the spirit that was given to the little lad, who You lifted and set in the midst of the disciples, and used as an illustration, that spirit that was upon the boy, who unresisting, uncomplaining, yielded to the Lord Jesus, that be seen amongst the children here. We ask it in Thy name, Lord. Amen. Amen.